It is Free Talk Live. You may take control of the airwaves here toll free. Bring up anything that you want. Our number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733. We do have Skype, so you can Skype on in here at username lrn.fm. With you in the studio tonight, it's Ian,
Melanie,
and Mark.
Of course, you can bring up anything you want. We've got Skype, as I said, and we've got the brand new option to show video feeds from Skype, which is cool. So you can bring up anything you want. We've got Trump on deck here. Mark, you mentioned there was a story about gay Trump supporters being turned away from some sort of a pride fest or gay pride parade, perhaps. I don't know where the story was coming from, but you mentioned it last night. We never got to it.
Yeah, it's from Fox5NY.com.
All right.
Gay Trump supporters denied entry into Charlotte Pride Parade. A group says Charlotte Pride is pushing them out of the gay pride parade because they support President Trump. I'm very proud of my country, proud of my president, and was once proud of my community, says Brian Talbert, who said he's proud to be gay and proud to be a Trump supporter. His truck has a Trump-Pence bumper sticker on it, and not a liberal, on the back window. I'm very proud of my vote. I don't regret my vote. I will vote for Donald Trump again. I'm proud of my president. I don't think I should be vilified because I'm proud of a U.S. president as an American. Talbert, a member of Deplorable Pride. Hillary Clinton lost some votes when she called people a basket of deplorables.
Trump supporters, right?
Well, just people generally.
Oh, okay. I thought she was specifically referring to
conservatives
the
conservatives and Trump supporters. I don't know. Okay. All those folks. Which is not affiliated with the Gays for Trump, based in Greensboro, North Carolina, said he and a fellow gay Trump supporter sent in an application to Charlotte Pride so that they could have a float in this year's Charlotte Pride Parade. It's going to be fun. We wanted to be energetic. We wanted to show that we weren't racists, bigots, or misogynistic. We wanted to show that we were Americans, love our country and our president. We wanted to be there to celebrate gay pride. Everything fell into place except for being able to celebrate who I am, he said. Talbert said Charlotte Pride sent him an email denying his application.
Interesting.
For a float. For a group of people to claim to want tolerance, acceptance, and give it to every single person you can imagine to give it to. For them to sit back and judge me for exercising my right as an American to choose my leader without judgment is hypocritical.
Okay, so what I want to know is here, did the organization that was putting on this parade actually give any kind of evidence that the reason they denied the application was due to their support of Donald Trump? Or was it just a flat-out denial and they're jumping to a conclusion because they're Trump supporters?
As I read the article, yes. That it basically it was pretty clear that this was a, you know, that gay pride press, parades around the country have turned into anti-Trump protests.
Because most, at least, known or out gay people seem like they're Democrats.
Well, right? I don't think that that's true. I think that there's a kind of assumption forced onto them that most gay people are leftists, but I don't think by any means most gay people are leftists.
Well, I don't know if most of them are or aren't. I was just saying that most of them that are sort of out there seem more like they're on the left.
I can tell you this. The first out gay man to receive an electoral vote was a Libertarian Party candidate, and I believe it was 1972.
Who was that?
I can't remember his name, but I'll tell you what, it wasn't the Democrat or the Republican.
Okay.
So the Libertarians have put the gay on the ballot and got him an electoral vote.
And aren't there the Log Cabin Republicans?
John Hospers is his name.
Isn't that another gay group, Log Cabin Republicans?
Yes.
Yep. And
that's
then there's of course the there's gay gun groups. Is it the Pink Pistols or is it the Women's Gun Group?
I think it's Pink Pistols.
I don't remember.
I don't either. The Libertarian Party welcomes gays. There's, you know, they're all over the place.
Sure.
It's awesome.
But Libertarians are in a very small minority as far as the population is concerned. It certainly seems like, sort of like, you know, it seems like gay people that are at least public are more like,
attention to specific gay people who put themselves out there? Or are you paying attention to mainstream media? mainstream media would probably want you to think.
Okay, I'll give you this example. So I used to do outreach for the Libertarian Party back in Florida. Mark, you helped me with some of these events. I don't remember which ones you went to, but I did go to...
I think I went to the county fair one.
Okay. So I also went to Gay and Lesbian Pride Fest and did Libertarian outreach
you
there.
Sure did. Yep.
And the way I would conduct these outreach booths is with the world's smallest political quiz. Now, listeners that aren't familiar with this, it's a quick 10-question survey, and the answers are yes, maybe, or no. And you go down the 10 questions and the person answers them, and then you score based on how they answered, and their score puts them on the what's called the Nolan chart, which is this diamond-shaped chart that has libertarian at the top, authoritarian at the bottom, leftist, and then conservative on the left and right, and then centrist in the middle. And so based on how they answered the quiz, which I believe you can take at quiz.freetalklive.com, I think that jumps
you still open.
Straight to the quiz on the Advocates for Self-Government's page. And when I was at the Gay and Lesbian Pride Fest, the super majority, like 90% of the people there were either on the left or in the libertarian quadrants. Contrasting that to, say, the gun shows that I went to, where the supermajority of people were either in the conservative or libertarian quadrants. There's always a small amount that was in the authoritarian quadrant, and certainly some that were in the center, but the bulk of the respondents...
Right, but you're going to specific...
Pride Fest?
...events.
Is that necessarily a leftist event? I don't think so.
I don't think so, but I think that that is what it... I mean, I think that there are plenty of people who are gay who... have no interest in parades or whatever. I mean,
this was just it was in Robards Arena in Sarasota, Florida, a fairly large kind of space where people can set up, you know, booths and walk around. And I guess normally there's like, a basketball court in there or something? I don't even know what it normally is used for. But
It has had basketball
in it. They have sporting.
I saw the Sarasota Stingers there.
Yeah, they've had sporting events and concerts.
Which has got to be the gayest name for a basketball team yet.
So anyway, it wasn't a parade. It was just Pride Fest.
Okay.
So there were there were vendors that thought that maybe their target market was they were targeting gay people. Yep. There was a drag show, which was awesome. So you know, they had some entertainment that was going on as well. But no parade.
But I still think that you're self-selecting to an extent. There, you're going specifically to gay pride events, and while yes, you would be likely to meet gay people there, just because most of the people you meet at a gay pride event are leftist doesn't mean that most gay people are leftist.
I didn't say
it's
most gay
like
people were leftist.
Going to a church and being like, I found a family at this church and they're conservative, therefore all nuclear families are conservative.
I didn't say that all gay people were leftists, nor did I say that most gay people were leftists. I said that most of them that are out seem like they're on the left. The ones who aren't afraid of being seen as gay, the ones who are likely to attend the Gay and Lesbian Pride Fest.
I think the ones that are out are likely to identify as left. And mm-hmm. I don't think... Okay, so first off, I don't think most people are very well informed when it comes to voting. They just kind of vote where, you know, they think they're supposed to vote. And I think that's true for gay people too. And I can totally understand why gay people would look at the two choices and say, I'm voting Democrat.
Right, and if you're in a place like in the South, even though it is Florida, it's still in the South, where someone might feel the need to go to a festival specifically about being gay, it's probably because you're being attacked. Who are you being attacked by? The right wing. Okay, so then where are you going to go? Default.
Sure.
The other way.
Sure.
So that kind of, I mean, that in itself is a selection bias. If they were in a place where maybe they didn't feel the need to do that, it's probably because they're not being attacked, so they're not going to default to the people who aren't attacking them.
Sure. Well, at least that they perceive they're not being attacked. And now here you got the gay Trump supporters trying to go into a parade. And where was this story from with the Trump supporters? I forget where.
Well, it's out of Charlotte, but...
Charlotte, North Carolina?
Yeah, but it looks like it's being reported in from New York. So.
All right. We can talk more about it here, and you're welcome to weigh in. Maybe you are a gay person, and you can comment on us sitting here speculating about the gay community, whatever that means. Because there's a lot of differences within the gay community. More coming up here. This is Free Talk Live. This This is Free Talk Live, and you can bring up anything that you want to discuss. We're talking about some gay Trump supporters who were rejected from a gay pride parade, ostensibly because they support Donald Trump, led to a larger conversation about the gay community. And as Melanie pointed out during the break, that's like saying the straight community. There's all kinds of subdivisions and dividings between the gay community, whatever that means. But if you want to comment, you're welcome to join us here. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Whether you're gay or straight or something else entirely, you probably have a father or had a father. And if he's still kicking, then he probably loves to grill. He probably loves a good steak. And we've got an incredible gift that you can give dad for Father's Day, which, of course, is coming up very fast. So you really should start thinking about placing your order at omahasteaks.com and use code FTL in the search bar to get access to this limited time Father's Day package that we have had the pleasure of having delivered here. And we also had Omaha Steaks on last year. We got a great variety of their products here, and you're going to hear that in just a moment. But they were fantastic last year, and we've just started digging into them again here this year. Omaha Steaks offers everything dad could want for his grilling needs, everything including all of the best cuts of beef, bison from the Golden Plains, seafood, poultry, pork, veal, lamb, vegetables, and more. It's the perfect Father's Day gift. Limited time offer. Go to omahasteaks.com, use code FTL in the search bar, then you'll see Free Talk Live comes down below that. You click that, and that gives you access to this deal where you get 80% off of the Omaha Steaks Father's Day package, which gives you the following: two tender mild filet mignons, two bold beef beefy top sirloins, four crispy chicken fried steaks, four juicy boneless pork chops, four all-beef Omaha steak burgers, four award-winning gourmet jumbo franks, 12 ounces of all-beef meatballs, 1 pound of steakhouse fries, four made-from-scratch caramel apple tartlets, the Omaha Steak seasoning packet, and they'll add in four additional burgers for free. You get this limited-time offer, $49.99, when you go to omahasteaks.com. You type in FTL in the search bar and then add the Father's Day package to your cart. It's an amazing deal and a great introduction to the world of Omaha Steaks. So omahasteaks.com, type in FTL in the search bar as we go to Modern Drummer calling us on Skype. You're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, Catalonia has been trying to secede from Spain. They've had some movements to try to do that. And on October 1st, they're going to have a referendum to vote on that.
That's right. And, Mark, you mentioned this off the air last night. We didn't talk about it. And this is this a non-binding referendum?
I am not sure of that.
Didn't you look at that, Mark, last night?
So it is non-binding.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense in that they have their own language and they have their own customs. They want to be separate. And one of the things that the politicians were saying that were against it, they were saying that it's not constitutional and that it threatens the unity of Spain, to which I would say, well, duh.
Well, duh. I mean,
that's kind of the point. That's the point of seceding.
Yeah, thanks Abraham Lincoln, by the way, for making that a valid point. Because, you know, it's not united if you've got to kill people to keep them there.
Hmm. Exactly. And that brings me to my point here, in that I'm very much a right winger. And that being the case, as I see America now, as we become more polarized politically, there's nothing I can agree with on the left. We can't really come and agree. And so why not just, I mean, this is the definition of irreconcilable, the epitome of irreconcilable differences, in my opinion. And why not just go our separate ways, get a divorce, and everybody can live under the government they would like to live under.
Indeed.
Yeah, I totally support that. Now, of course, in the case of Catalonia, it's actually a split between leftists, right? So you've got the people in Catalonia and the rest of Spain A lot of it leans left, and the Catalonian people are definitely socialists as well. They just want to have their own socialism where
they don't have to pay for the rest of the poor people.
Right.
So that's the
so
funny
thing.
So they should
quit being socialists.
That's the funny thing about this particular situation is that, you know, if you're socialist, you want to help the poor people, or at least so I'm told, the workers and blah, 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 blah. But why then would the Catalans want to secede from Spain, where they have so many other workers and poor people to help?
Well, I think you've hit on it there, the irrational so-called logic of this. And socialism to me just seems like a bunch of people who want to virtue signal, and they want to force other people to pay for their so they can ease their conscience.
Yeah.
Well, in this case, I mean, I haven't done a whole lot of digging, but from previous discussions about Catalonia, it seems as though they would say to you likely that they don't oppose helping poor people, but they just want the money that they pay in taxes to focus on their area of Spain rather sure. than the rest of it.
I think that's completely fair.
It seems like a legitimate objection. Absolutely.
It seems sound to me. I totally agree and see where they're coming from there.
Well, that's an attack on government itself. I want my money to stay around where I am. It's an attack on the nature of government, not just an attack on socialism. So,
well,
I mean, and none of it makes sense, and none of it is going to make sense. There's only really two, not forms of government, but government philosophies that are even internally coherent, and those would be anarchy and complete authoritarianism, but...
Is anarchy a government philosophy?
It's a philosophy about government. I don't know.
Okay.
Two views on government that are coherent at all.
So you're saying total authoritarianism is coherent in that what?
It's internally coherent. It's not a good idea. That's different than
meaning
being
consistent?
It's consistent with itself.
Okay, got it. Modern Drummer, anything else you want to share about Catalonia?
Well, I would not agree with the average Catalonian, but politically, but I certainly support their right to be governed as they wish.
If you were living in Catalonia, even though you don't agree with them politically, how would you vote on this?
I would probably, I'm not sure, I guess, but I think I would vote for secession.
Even though there's a chance that things could get even more socialist in the seceded Catalonia.
Yes, it's difficult for me to say. Right now, here in the United States, I can say whatever I want, and I'm not really affected. But I like the idea of people being able to live under the government they wish, because, in my opinion, this would solve a lot of problems and certainly is an answer to what I don't want to see, and that is political sides being won by violence.
Great points. Thanks for the call tonight, Modern Drummer. I appreciate it. The toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE. Like freedom, that's 855-450-3733. We go to another Skype line where Dunker is on the line. He is on the road as we've been following along, even though you haven't been calling every night. You've been apparently pretty exhausted from bicycling from Florida to New Hampshire. We did check in on your map last night, Dunker, and it looked like you were near Raleigh, North Carolina. So I take it you've got an update for us?
Stand by.
We're going to bring you back here for that. He's on the road, hopefully not bicycling while he's talking with us. We'll continue here in moments. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. His website, by the way, dunkerbike.com. We'll talk to Jonathan Dunker here and see how the path to New Hampshire is coming along. And you can join us toll-free at 855-450-FREE.
Tired of spending hours hunting down the day's essential political news and views? Let Tom and Steve at Rational Review News Digest do it for you. Visit rationalreview.com for free, hand-curated news, commentary, and audio and video content. Choose from web, social media, and once-daily email editions. We've been the Freedom Movement's daily newspaper since 1991. Come find out why at rationalreview.com.
We'll be right back.
It is Free Talk Live. Dial toll-free. Join us right here on the radio waves. Our number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733. With you in the studio tonight, it's Ian,
Melanie,
and Mark.
And you want to help build a better financial system for everyone? Join Dash. Dash is digital cash, a digital money platform designed to replace cash and help people manage their own wealth. It's fast, private, and easy. Fees are low, and transactions are fast and can even be confirmed instantly. You can pay anyone, anywhere in the world, anytime for just pennies on the dollar. Dash is decentralized and run by users who earn rewards for helping run the network and make governance decisions. Anyone can invest in Dash and earn rewards for helping run the Dash network. Join Dash and help create a better financial system for everyone. Take back control over your financial future today. You can find out more at Dash.org. There's a lot of momentum behind Dash right now. You go to Dash.org and you can find out why. I was looking at fees today, Mark. Apparently, the fees for Ethereum are now up at around a dollar per transaction, from what I understand.
Scaling.
And, of course, Bitcoin fees are like $2.50 for a median transaction. The average fee is at around $4 last time I looked today. Dash fees between 2 and 12 cents. From what I saw.
Yeah, and Dash is it's running right up behind Ethereum. Ethereum's an excellent platform for contracts and those sorts of things. I tend to think that Dash is a better currency.
Well, I mean, we will definitely see about that, but Dash is exciting, and it's in the top 10 currencies right now. I wouldn't say it's right behind Ethereum. It's at number 7 at the moment on coincap.io.
I'm talking about value. You're talking about market cap.
Yeah.
If you wanted to talk about market penetration as far as who takes the currency to buy things, Bitcoin has huge penetration over both of those.
Sure.
There's different metrics that one can use to decide what's happening and what's not happening, but the flippening, as it were, is occurring. And it's being reported on at dashforcenews.com.
Really?
Yeah, it's happening. Dash has experienced a rise alongside Ethereum.
So Dash is reporting on Ethereum changing places with Bitcoin?
Dashforce News is primarily a cryptocurrency, virtual currency news source.
Okay.
And they are, clear that they're fans of Dash.
Got it. All right, so check out dash.org. As we go back to Dunker, he's on the line with us calling. Where are you tonight, Dunker? Where'd you end up?
I'm about 20 miles north of the Virginia border, South Hill, Virginia.
And you've been riding your bicycle all the way from Sebastian, Florida. You started, what was it, a week ago? When did you kick this thing off?
June 4th.
June 4th. Okay, so already one week under your belt, just over a week. And you are in, where again?
South Hill, Virginia.
South Hill, Virginia. Okay, and so you're sort of traveling up the East Coast. You've been doing basically like a photo blog along the way, taking pictures of a variety of the things and places that you've been encountering. So, any news? I mean, how are you holding up?
I was doing pretty okay the first couple of days through Florida. And then I started having major energy issues, like I was running out of gas. And then I decided to give myself a regimen of eating every 2 hours.
And, what do you eat, like French fries?
Yeah, right. stuff I can carry, like canned food.
You can carry French fries. I've done it.
Right?
Is that the best food to eat?
It's carbohydrates. I don't think that it would be the worst thing to eat.
Okay.
I could recommend other things besides potatoes, but by God, French fries aren't a poor choice.
I tend to go for like pastas and things like that because they're heavy.
Yeah. You don't have to worry about temperature there because, I mean, potatoes, when they've gotten cold, not so great. But pasta, when it's cold, it's just something
pasta
to eat, right?
Like a cans of ravioli, that kind of thing.
Gotcha.
All right. So you're packing your own. You're packing your own food in your what back? What do you got? A backpack? How much stuff are you bringing up? Is this is one question I think somebody had asked me off the air about your travels. You're moving. This is not just a ride to New Hampshire. You're moving from Florida to New Hampshire. Did you sell all your stuff beforehand and like super simplify your life and everything you have is like in a backpack, or do you have like a pod full of stuff that you're sending up here to your new location in New Hampshire?
The first thing I sold and gave away and threw away everything I had, pretty much.
That's amazing. Now, what was that like? I mean, because a lot of people don't ever go through that level of simplification of their life. You know, when we moved up here, we had to bring a whole studio and all the, you know, equipment. I did sell off, you know, furniture or the TV and, you know, some stuff that I had before I moved up here. And I always liked the feeling of making the things that one has fewer. I like that. But I've never had the opportunity to reduce it down to everything you can fit in a backpack. What was that like?
Pretty difficult in some ways, because I used to have a huge video game collection, like 3,000 or 4,000 games.
Oh, wow.
With like 20 different consoles and things like that. And I got rid of all that. And
damn. That is a big deal.
But I found out I wasn't really playing the games that much, so I don't really miss them.
Yep. It was just stuff. That's what I realized.
There's a lot of games I don't want to get rid of, but I haven't played in 10 years or something.
Right.
You know, it's that way.
There's games I've purchased and have never played.
I've had that too. I did recently trot out Ratchet and Clank, though. So, you know,
those are fun.
Yeah, okay. That's a good one.
All right, cool. So you sold off a bunch of stuff, and what did you use to sell it? Craigslist, eBay, a bunch of different options. How did you get rid of it?
Mostly just friends and family.
Oh, okay. Well, that's easy. Excellent. Yeah. So any other stories from the road thus far? Interesting people met, encounters of interest worth sharing?
Nothing. Well, there's a lot of stuff. I could go on for hours, but one thing I was thinking about sharing tonight was the I've had a problem with dogs that I didn't expect.
What kind of problem? Are they chasing you?
So, yeah, pretty much. The Google's got me going down some back streets to save distance.
Yeah.
And I'm going through neighborhoods, and some of these dogs are busting out of their yards and chasing me down the street.
God. It's like angry southern pit bulls coming after you, that kind of thing. Rottweilers.
Yeah, one of them was big, like really big.
Jeez.
Scared the heck out of me. Thinking about carrying bear spray or something.
That's one option. And then there's, isn't there like a high-pitched tone kind of device that can really confuse dogs? I believe that, I forget what it's called, but I know I've seen something like that.
I think
that.
It's called a high-pitched tone device.
Something
right?
Like that, yeah. Where you point it at them and then they get really confused.
Well, you can't, when you're on a bicycle, you're pointing the other direction away from the dog. So
yes, you would have to point it behind you, Mark, if you were going to do that. The problem with the bear spray is if the wind's going in the wrong direction, it'll whip right back around in your
One of his difficulties is he can't really go on Amazon and get something delivered right now.
Well, you could if you knew which hotel that you were going to. And probably, you're in the South. I mean, it's probably not hard to find a gun store or something like that where they likely would have some pepper spray. Although, I guess if you're on your bicycle, it's probably less likely to whip back in your face because you'd be moving away from the bear spray.
Yeah, it looks like you can. Right. There's some things for bikes specifically, how to deal with aggressive dogs while on your bike. So there are, you know, just that's a Google search away.
Yeah, and you've been staying in hotels, so you could always have something delivered to a hotel that you knew that you were going to end up staying at.
That would give you a goal. You'll know you'll make it there.
That's difficult to time.
It's hard to time it. That's certainly true.
I mean, that's even difficult to time. I didn't even bother doing that in the car.
You're probably best off finding a gun store and biking by there and just checking out what they've got. So, cool, man. Hey, glad to hear you're still on the road. I know you're trying to get up here by the Porcupine Freedom Festival, which gives you approximately, about a week or so? Week and a half? You think you're going to make
That's about right. I hope so. It's going to be really close. I might be a day or two late.
Okay. But you probably will make it by the end of the event, for sure.
Right.
All right. Hey, man, drive for a ride safe out there. Appreciate the continued updates here on Free Talk Live. That's Jonathan Dunker. He is on his bicycle riding from Florida, making his move to New Hampshire. And you mentioned it was part of the Shire Society?
Yep.
Excellent. Dunker, thanks for the call tonight. We'll talk to you soon.
Good night.
Yep, very good. That's Jonathan Dunker. Dunkerbike.com. You can go and follow his path. He actually's got the GPS device of some sort that is showing where he's gone and where he's and then, you know, you can see that over the days and photos and everything. Dunkerbike.com. There's more coming up here. 855-450-FREE. 855-450-3733. It's Free Talk. Sorry about that.
What's that?
I don't know what that was. Somebody on Skype making a bunch of noise. My bad.
Yep. You're terrible about that whole Skype thing.
The toll-free number here is 855-453. That's 855-450-3733. We've got Skype here, and you can Skype in at username lrn.fm. And sometimes I will forget to hit the mute button on Skype, and then that'll happen. So, with you in the studio tonight, it's Ian,
Melanie,
and Mark.
All right. Of course, you can bring up anything you want. We've still got more to say on the gay Trump supporters who were denied access to having a parade or a float in a parade, a gay pride parade in, where was that, Charlotte, North Carolina, or
That's
something
right.
like that? And then there's another related story that Daryl W. Perry sent us about a libertarian group of the Pink Pistols being denied access to a different pride parade. So we can share that with you because it's related as we go to your phone calls and thoughts. And do want to let you know how to support Free Talk Live. One of the best ways to do it is to become a Free Talk Live amplifier at amp.freetalklive.com. AMP stands for Advertise, Market, and Promote. And the idea behind the AMP program is to help Free Talk Live get on more radio stations. And you can help us for $5 a month. Also, to help introduce Free Talk Live to new internet listeners as well. You can get the list of some of the stuff that we do with your $5 over at amp.freetalklive.com. And list of the cool perks that you'll get access to, like the AMP-only call-in lines, AMP-only podcast, the AMP-only Facebook group, and more. Just go to AMP, AMP.freetalklive.com. As we go to Cognitive Dissident calling from somewhere, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hello. Hey. I had, I guess, like a public service announcement to any users of the Jax wallet.
Okay.
There was a vulnerability discovered in it recently.
Yep.
And some coins, I guess, have been confirmed stolen out of Jax wallets.
I haven't heard that yet.
I think I just saw something about
really?
That. Yeah, about, yep, there's been some losses, yep.
Is this the same vulnerability that was revealed over the weekend where it was found that the code words, the 12-word seed for the Jax wallet, for those that don't know, Jax is a multi-coin cryptocurrency wallet.
It's also the official wallet of Free Talk Live.
Right, and they found out that the 12-word seed was relatively easy to crack. Is that the one that you're talking about?
Yes.
Okay.
So do you know how this works, this vulnerability?
I'm not super technical, but my understanding was that the encryption key.
Oh, we just, your audio just cut out there.
Which I guess is bad practice for security.
Yeah, so your audio cut out there. You were saying something about the encryption key, and as my understanding, the key is encrypted, but the encryption is not as good as people might have hoped that it would be. And we are going to have Charlie Schrem, who is he works with Jax. He's one of the I don't remember what his exact position is over there, but longtime listeners will remember Charlie as the founder of BitInstant, who was a early Bitcoin advertiser here on Free Talk Live years ago. I don't remember how many years ago it was now, maybe like 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, one of the first places that people could buy Bitcoin with cash, basically. And he ended up going to federal prison for selling some Bitcoin to somebody who was going to use it on the Silk Road. They sent him to prison, I believe, for 2 years for that. And he's back out. He's still in the cryptocurrency sphere, and he's working over at Jax. He's going to be on the show, I believe, on Wednesday night.
And it's my understanding that he has stated that they are working on that, and he is taking the problem into hand. We'll see how that progresses.
Yeah, I sure hope so, because yeah, this was pretty bad news.
Jax is a really great wallet. But, you know, I mean, if there's a vulnerability, then it needs to be addressed, right?
It does. Cognitive Dissident,
also,
are you still with us?
I think one of the things that Jax says, which is really, really important, is that you've got to control your device, whatever the device is that you've got the wallet on. In the same way that you control your wallet, you need to control the device. And, you know, that's probably going to be an issue for just about any wallet out there, is if you don't have control over your device, then you're going to have some problems.
Meaning like a code to get into your phone when you turn it on.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Yeah.
That would help, but ultimately they still do need to solve this this vulnerability.
Yep.
So that was all you wanted to just share that news with us, Cognitive Dissident?
Yep. I would also, suggest that people treat Jax as a hot wallet and not, store large amounts of Bitcoin in it.
Yep, that's a good suggestion. And
just in general.
Yep, that's their official position as well. They put out a press release about it this weekend. So hopefully we'll learn more on Wednesday night when we have Charlie on. Actually, we originally had scheduled him to talk about the user-activated soft fork, and then this whole thing blew up with Jax over the weekend, so we'll certainly be talking to him about that as well. Thanks for the call tonight, Cognitive Dissident. Appreciate hearing from you. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We do have Skype. And you can Skype into the show here. And I think every call has actually been on Skype so far tonight. Skype username is lrn.fm. So feel free to reach out to us there. Back to the story we were discussing, Mark. You had just kind of given us the basics. And I didn't know if there was more from the news piece that you thought was worth sharing. But there were was a gay pro-Trump group that wanted to get a float, some sort of an entry into a gay pride parade in Charlotte, North Carolina. And they were told no. And you said that you believed that it was because they were Trump supporters, that you believed that there was some sort of evidence to prove that.
A spokesperson for the organization, and let's go back here, Charlotte Pride, said in a written statement, Charlotte Pride reserves the right to decline participation at our events to groups or organizations which do not reflect the mission, vision, or values of our organization. As is acknowledged
right.
in our parade rules and regulations by all groups at the time of their parade application, in the past, we have made similar decisions to decline participation from other organizations espousing anti-LGBTQ religious or public policy stances.
Okay.
So from that, I believe you can draw that Trump is anti-LGBTQ. By the assertions of Charlotte Pride, and therefore the Trump-supporting gay folks don't get to be in the gay people parade. Does that sound fair?
That sounds pretty accurate.
Yep. Charlotte Pride envisions a world in which LGBTQ people are affirmed, respected, and included in the full social and civic life of their
unless they support Trump
communities, free from any fear of discrimination, rejection, and prejudice. Charlotte Pride invites all members, groups, and organizations and causes which share our values to join our community's celebration of the LGBTQ community.
Are those values, I wonder? The values of socialism?
And this is really weird because though Trump is a heinous excuse for a human being, he's the only president since I've been old enough to be aware who hasn't actively attacked gay people.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
And maybe he did, and I just haven't seen it, but I feel like I would have seen that. I don't think he has, and I know that the rest of them have.
Yeah, I think they were looking hard.
That's really weird.
I think during the campaign, the anti-Trump gay people were looking hard to find something that, you know, they could drag him through the mud about as far as being anti-gay, and I don't think they found anything about
that. Yeah, he's in the hospitality industry.
He knows gay people left and right.
Too anti-gay.
I mean, everybody who's ever done his makeup and whatever kind of hair he might have left is probably been gay.
That horrifying comb-over.
Yeah.
Right. So
I mean, I don't mean to stereotype, but I'm kind of stereotyping there. There's a reason for it.
You find
a male hairstylist who's not gay.
I wouldn't pay a straight male to do my hair. That's just a waste of money.
I think that's part of it. Like,
you can find a male barber who's not gay, but hairstylist, much less likely.
It's less likely, yeah. But you know, nonetheless, I mean, there are certain careers where you can, you know, if you find a guy there, there's a better chance that guy's gay. But mm-hmm. that doesn't mean that every
theater
guy
performer.
In that career is what's
right.
that?
Theater performer.
Yeah. Yep. There's some. The gay guys get out there and belt it out in the musicals, right?
Sure do.
But if you decide to be a straight guy in, you know, performing in a musical, you're going to have your pick.
That's true.
There's lots of gals that are doing the jobs. Anyway, all I'm saying is that I think that, you know, in many cases, you know, gays and straight people and lots of people are sort of uninformed in the voting process. They don't know that Trump, or maybe, you know, a lot of Trump supporters don't hate them. I don't understand why these gay guys are Trump supporters. I don't know. I don't support Trump. But you know, you either have a gay pride parade or you have a liberal gay pride parade.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, you know, you don't get to have both. This isn't a gay pride parade anymore.
Nope.
This is a Democratic gay pride parade. And that's a problem.
I think it's only a problem if they're pretending otherwise.
They are pretending otherwise. They call themselves the Gay Pride, the Pride Fest or Pride Parade.
Well, right, but the problem is that they're pretending otherwise. The problem isn't that they want a leftist gay parade.
All right, there's more coming up here. You can share your thoughts with us. Mark, you're taking off for the night. You got a doctor's appointment.
Yep.
Melanie and I will continue, and you can join us here toll-free, 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733.
Bitcoin.com is the most unique online destination in the Bitcoin universe. Buying Bitcoin? Do it here. Want to speak your mind to other Bitcoin users? Our forum is always open and censorship-free at forum.bitcoin.com. There's no bigger Bitcoin believers than the Bitcoin.com team. That's why this site is a one-stop shop for everything you need to get into Bitcoin life. You can also play games at games.bitcoin.com. Learn more at bitcoin.com. That's bitcoin.com.
Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. You can dial toll-free. The number here, 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. And Ian and Melanie continuing here. We've morphed a Mark into a Renee.
Oh, hey, you guys.
And we've been talking, and Renee, you heard a little bit of the discussion before about some gay Trump supporters that were turned away from being part of a gay pride parade. And it turns out it's not just the Trump supporters who are being targeted. There's an update on, I guess not an update, but a related story out of the Capital City Pride Fest that happens in, I think it was Washington State, I think. But anyway, we'll get into Olympia. Yeah, Washington, Olympia, Washington. We'll get into what happened there. You can share your thoughts with us on whatever's on your mind. Let's go to Stefan in Ohio. He's on Skype. Hello, Stefan.
Hey, guys. How are you today?
What's on your mind tonight?
The Supreme Court apparently just ruled on something I consider to be an absolute sham for them to even be involved in. They just ruled that Microsoft has no responsibility for Xbox 360 games getting scratched. Have you heard about that?
Well, why would they have responsibility for someone else's game getting scratched?
Well, apparently they made no mention that if you were to move the console when it was on, when it was working, the disc would get gouged to heck and back.
Why would you want to move your console?
That's not really something you're supposed to do, though.
Yeah, I mean, why would you want to move your game console while it was playing?
What I want to know is, why is the Supreme Court even involved in this? They refuse to
hear
the assault.
Because they're an appeals court?
They refuse to hear the assault weapons ban, but they hear this?
I'm not familiar with the case at all. So what happened? Somebody moved their Xbox while it was turned on. That somehow scratched the disc, and they sued over it, and they went all the way to the Supreme Court. That sounds like a waste of money to me. What's the history of this case?
The lawsuit was filed a couple years ago. I had heard briefly about it, and I don't know what appeals courts it went through first. This was a big problem, and some people have told me today, well, it's a good thing the Supreme Court heard it because we need consumer protections. You know, that's what I've been hearing in defense of this lawsuit.
Okay.
And what do you guys think of consumer protections? Because I am of the opinion that it's just some excuse for people not to read the fine print.
Well, so consumer protections is kind of what I think of when I hear that term, is a bunch of regs designed to punish companies for being companies and protect consumers for being stupid when they misuse products. Looks like that's what happened here. I think that prosecuting fraud, not necessarily with district attorneys, but arbitration and any other markets sources, or if you live under a country and you use the court system, that's okay to prosecute fraud, then that's really where that should end. As
consumer protection, that's where that should end.
Right. As far as suing a company because you abused the product and it got scratched, don't do that.
Apparently, this was a class action suit here. I did pull up the story, Stefan. This one's from ArsTechnica.com. They ruled, apparently today, that tens of thousands of gamers who complained that the Microsoft Xbox 360 console scratched game discs cannot sue Microsoft in a class action suit. It was brought in 2012, claimed that small movements or vibrations of the console could result in the optical drive scratching the discs. The suit accused Microsoft of knowing about the alleged issue before the Xbox 360 launched in 2005. The suit claimed there were 55,000 complaints about the issue by 2008. The court's highly nuanced decision rested on federal appellate procedure, but the outcome means that if aggrieved gamers want to sue Microsoft over the issue, they must do so individually, at least for now. And that is a big deal for a variety of reasons. Compared to individual suits, class actions are much more costly to fend off, and they expose companies to far greater damage awards, often resulting in settlements with large fee awards given to the suing attorneys, while the people who are represented usually get, you know, a few cents. On the flip side, the incentive for lawyers to sue is greatly diminished outside of the class action context because of the financial risks of representing a single plaintiff.
But it skews the market for non-violent retaliation, I guess. Not that you want to increase the other one, but, you know, retaliation, it's non-violent retaliation because you're going after your money back. It skews the market for that. Where should that risk lie? Should it be moved to people paying for court systems, or should you just be out the $50 when you make a bad decision? Or maybe decide not to do business with Bill Gates after he's done all kinds of weird things with Microsoft?
I've heard some argue that Microsoft knew about this issue and should have put some sort of warning on the package, kind of like how McDonald's has a warning on their coffee cups now, like it's extremely hot.
Well, yeah, after they got sued for it.
Right.
They don't have that in other countries.
I mean, this just seems
like Canadian cups mocking it.
Like common sense, you know, take this disc, disc playing device that is spinning a CD or DVD at however many thousands of RPMs that it's spinning it at. It's fast. And then you move the device around, there's a chance you're going to get a scratch on it. I mean, just these devices were meant to be placed somewhere, turned on and off, and not moved about while you're playing the game.
I mean, and it wouldn't surprise me that the Xbox was below industry standard, but you probably should have known that when you were buying an Xbox instead of a PlayStation. Or an Xbox instead of anything else.
I guess the only time I could understand somebody suing is like if some 50-year-old guy that had only played like an Intellivision or something moved the console when he was younger, maybe. You know, because I remember a lot of game consoles you can move around. Like the Wii, I've moved around. It's never scratched the disc. PlayStation.
What kind of disc does a Wii have?
It uses a it's an optical disc. It's not necessarily a DVD, but
it has move the game system around? You move the controllers. You don't move the game system. What was the reason for it?
Some people would argue, like, I don't know, somebody's going to let the dog out and it's going to, like, run across the floor and drag stuff all over the place. Let's move the console to where it's safe.
But the Wii doesn't have cables connecting
to the
console.
Well, why is the console on the floor? It's probably not supposed to be on the floor.
One reason, on the floor.
In the olden days, when you had a console with cables connected to the controllers, sometimes the controller cables wouldn't reach to the couch, so you might want to bring the console away from the TV onto the floor so the controller cables would reach the couch. So I could see that.
Okay, well, I don't know. I would think it would be easier to move the couch. But
or, in some cases, the controllers would just be hardwired to the systems.
It's very rare, but there are some systems that do that. But the example you gave with the Wii, those are remote controls. Those are wireless.
I was never talking about the controllers. What I'm saying is if the console was placed on the floor, because I know a lot of people who have their consoles on the floor.
Yeah.
You know, there are still wires connecting it to the TV. I mean, my Wii right now is on the floor, and some people would argue, you know, they want to move it to make sure that fall over.
And I get what you're saying, that like people wouldn't necessarily think, oh, this is going to scratch my disc. I wouldn't necessarily think that either. But after you open up the drive and notice that the disc has been scratched, maybe you'd figure it out. But I don't know. Maybe not.
Or maybe you'd go get the disc resurfaced at the very most.
I don't think you can.
But
is that a real thing? Is that something you can actually do, or is that
a myth?
I have
a game collection of like 60 PS2 games. Every single one of them's been resurfaced, and yes, it works.
Huh. And how do you do that? Do you have to order some sort of product or send them off somewhere?
Where I live, we have a shop called Stone Age Gamer where you can bring the disc in. They have a machine that will just put the coating back on the top layer of the disc, whatever they use, and it'll fill in some of the cracks.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing.
What do they charge
funny.
For that?
They only charge me a dollar for it.
It's a lot better than what I used to do. I remember as a kid, my older sister told me to take the disc and put it in the toilet and then flush the toilet. I don't know if she was just messing with me.
Yeah, I think she was messing with you.
Yeah, no, she was just messing with you.
That's actually considered a reputable method. You put white toothpaste on it and you smear it all over the disc and you flush it down the toilet and it'll apparently clean it off.
I mean, why couldn't you rinse it with clean water?
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. Why
it doesn't make any sense.
I've heard toothpaste and I don't know if that's valid or not, but I don't see how dirty water is more useful than clean water.
Just
because
you
scenario.
Saw it on 4chan doesn't mean it's a reputable method. Hey, thanks
five.
For the call, man.
You're
I appreciate
welcome, man.
Hearing from you. The toll-free number is 855-450-4. Free like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. You can take control of the airwaves. We can talk more about Gay Pride Fest. If you want to talk about this video game case, you're welcome to bring up anything that you want here on Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live. You dial in toll-free. Bring up anything that you want. Our number here, 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. Skype username is lrn.fm. Tonight in the studio, it's Ian.
Renee.
Melanie.
Melanie, you wanted to clarify something about the Supreme Court. We were just discussing this court case about the Xbox apparently scratching discs. There was an attempt at a class action suit, but the Supreme Court batted it back saying, no, these people who had their discs scratched, apparently 55,000 people, cannot sue as a class action. And you said there was a reason why they had to take that case, you believe.
Well, no, based on what he's saying, and I haven't read this case and don't know any, I've heard vaguely that Microsoft was being sued for that a few years ago. It sounds to me like they had to take this case. The United States Supreme Court isn't supposed to be, at least, a court of hearing newsworthy cases. It's supposed to do two things, one of which is hear cases that have constitutional issues in them, and the other which is to be an appellate, well, and it's appeals court either way, for cases where federal procedural law is at issue. So if it was a case where a federal procedural law was at issue, they pretty much have to take that, depending on what it is exactly. There are cases they have to take, and so if it was because it was a federal procedure issue, then they had to take the case and it was appropriate for them to take that case. Just, I mean, their job isn't to make headlines.
Right.
And I mean, obviously this is all from like a statist perspective is what, you know, they're supposed to do.
Well, you went to law school, right, for listeners that are new to the show.
So yeah, that might be why. And really, in all honesty, ruling on what you can and can't do in a class action law school might not be as fun to read about, but it might have more effects on just regular people than something exciting.
Microsoft, according to ArsTechnica.com, contended that unhappy gamers could bring lawsuits individually, not collectively, because only 0.4% of console owners reported problems. Microsoft also maintained that the cause of the problem was gamers' misuse. A lower court sided with Microsoft, ruling that individuals had to litigate individually because there could be myriad reasons why disks were scratched, including human error. The San Francisco-based Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals reversed that lower court and reinstated the class action. The appellate court ruled that even though the, quote, individual factors may affect the timing and extent of the disc scratching, they do not affect whether Xboxes were sold with a defective disc system. Plaintiffs contend that, one, whether the Xbox is defectively designed, and two, whether such design defect breaches in express or implied warranty are both issues capable of common proof. Microsoft appealed that decision to the Supreme Court, and the justices in the Supreme Court ruled unanimously, 8-0, today, that individuals who were denied class certification at the Washington State Federal Trial Court were not eligible to appeal to the Ninth Circuit because there was no final decision in the lower courts. The Supreme Court held appellate rules do not allow the plaintiffs to appeal the Washington State judge's ruling dismissing the class action. Therefore, the named plaintiffs needed to litigate their complaints individually before they could appeal whether they were improperly denied a chance at a class action. Did that make any sense?
Yeah.
I got a little lost on that one.
Yeah, I mean, it's all just procedural stuff as to, you know, basically whether you can sue people. I mean, at the end of the day, the question is, can you sue people when it's not worth suing them?
Mm-hmm.
If somebody drives their car into your house, it's worth taking off a day to go to arbitration.
Right.
If somebody scratches your
$50
things DBD. Run, $50, yeah. I'm assuming.
50, 60, maybe most.
Is it, and if you do it more than once, is it maybe your fault after that? So is it worth going and fighting and paying attorneys to fight? The filing fee at the Supreme Court is worth more than $50. So this is just...
Yeah, the only people who really wanted this lawsuit were the attorneys, right? Like, they were... Somebody brought this somehow to the attention of an attorney, and, you know, they cooked up this idea of the class action. I don't know how they got in touch with the 50,000 people. Did they force Microsoft to give up that information about who complained?
I would doubt
or
that.
Or they advertise?
They can put ads. They can put mailings to... I've gotten some of those mailings, like... Did you buy a Toyota between 1970 and because the window is broken or something? And you get So they do mailings of areas where they think they might find people. They do whatever.
So maybe they advertised on
Is what they do.
Maybe they advertised on, like, you know, gaming websites or something like that, and were looking for people who had scratch. Do you have a scratch disc from your Xbox? I mean, that's
right,
like a bunch of people.
Usually, outside of class action lawsuits, you aren't entirely allowed to do that as an attorney. Just advertise and, like, encourage people to sue other people.
Outside of class action. But they can for a class
action.
It's
not because it's not considered encouragement at that point.
They're
it's
just trying to find the victims.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that you probably are dealing with just a lot of human error here where people want to blame Microsoft for their scratched disc when it was likely the fact that they were drinking and playing video games or something like that, or not being careful with how they store the games, you know, storing them just in a stack of CDs rather than in the actual cases in which they were
purchased. Yeah, I mean, CDs were never a really durable media in the first place.
Yeah, I guess records weren't either, but were CDs more durable than a record?
I have no idea. I was... Yeah. Not around for records.
Good question.
I was around for records, somewhat.
By the time Xbox came around, they had those little cartridge things.
Cartridge things?
The little box.
The
like
game
in the
cartridges?
Super Nintendo had the little.
The game
cartridges. It wasn't an optical disc.
That
like,
came after. No.
That was before Xbox.
The cartridges came before Xbox.
Right. So that technology, a more durable technology, whether it was superior or not, existed. They chose to use optical discs.
Because optical discs store more data. So the cartridge technology, you couldn't put near as much data on the cartridge back then. Maybe now you could, but back then it was very expensive.
I'm sure you could, because you have, like, I mean, the SIM card in your phone is like this big.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Now you could do cartridge and it would probably store a crap load of data. But still, manufacturing costs are higher because you've got more parts that go into that. You've got to actually have a PC board manufactured with chips on it and things like that. And so it is a higher cost as opposed to just a DVD that you just keep pressing.
Right. But I mean, I don't know what was out at the time because I don't really pay attention to it. But it seems like you chose a system that had higher memory and less durability as opposed to a system that had more durability, and you knew that you were going to be kind of kicking this thing around.
I see what you're saying.
So,
well, they're bringing the cartridges back now.
Who's they?
Nintendo.
Really?
Right. They just released the Nintendo Switch.
And that has cartridges?
Yes.
Wow, that's crazy. So what's old is new again, apparently.
I love it.
Well, and that might just be a better design for something like a video game.
I think nowadays it probably is better because the data load time will be faster. That was one of the other things that was good about cartridges is the games loaded quick. Back in the old days on like the PlayStation or the Sega CD, some of the original CD-based systems, you'd sit there and wait while it loading. Cartridges never had a wait time. Because it's almost instantaneous. More coming up here, 855-450-FREE. Like freedom, join us on Free Talk Live.
North to Port is a Liberty-inspired fiction podcast about a band on tour. Each episode chronicles the band's adventures in the form of a radio interview at a tour stop location. Listen as North to Port explores Liberty themes in friendly ways, with humor and music. To listen to the podcast and the accompanying album, please visit northtoport.com. That's NORTHTOPORT.com. Or just search North to Port in your favorite podcatcher.
Is Free Talk Live. You dial toll-free and join us here. Our number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733. If you thought about starting up your own blog or website, it's not too late. HostGator.com/FTL gets you 50% off of the regular hosting prices at HostGator, one of the top web hosting companies out there. It's a special offer just for you as a Free Talk Live listener. HostGator.com/FTL, like Free Talk Live. They've got a simple one-click, easy installation for WordPress, so it makes it super easy to get started. They've also got 24/7 over-the-phone or live chat tech support and a very intuitive and user-friendly control panel that puts the power of creation and the simplicity of use into your hands. HostGator's got a 99.99% uptime rating as well, so you don't have to worry about outages. Go to HostGator.com/FTL to get 50% off. We were talking about the gay pride festivals and actually parade, and it was actually Mark that brought the story in tonight. But Daryl W. Perry from libertylobby.info sent us kind of an update or a related story. This came to an email that was forwarded from Gina Thompson at the Capital City Pride, which is an organization in Olympia, Washington. Written to someone named James from the Pink Pistols, which is I believe a gay libertarian gun rights organization. And apparently the Pink Pistols wanted to get into the 2017 Pride Festival in Olympia, and so they had applied, and this was their rejection letter. Quote, "Hello, James. Thank you for reaching out to Capital City Pride. I appreciate the emphasis on distinguishing between the Libertarian Party and the Pink Pistols." So presumably in the original email, there was some sort of statement made that we're not the LP. "I appreciate the emphasis on distinguishing the organizations, but at this time, we feel that the Libertarian Party's participation in the 2017 Pride Festival is..." Oh, excuse me. Okay, so it was the Libertarian Party who was applying. "In the 2017 Pride Festival is incompatible with the mission statement and values of Capital City Pride. Many of our participants and staff have felt threatened, not only by the presence of weapons at the festival, but also the promotional material that accompany the open carry enthusiast. It is the goal of Capital City Pride to create safe workspace for our staff and volunteers. Your request has been carefully considered. Thank you." From Gina. So, I guess I'm not real clear on whether that's to the Libertarian Party or... Let's see here. The vice chair of the Libertarian Party, who is openly gay, wanted to participate in Olympia's Pride event. So maybe they just presumed that because he was a libertarian, he was going to be packing heat? I mean, I guess that's kind of a safe presumption. A lot of libertarians are into gun rights, but it didn't sound like that was the point of their participation.
I mean, or they could just ban guns at their festival if they wanted to do that, and then you wouldn't have any... libertarians with guns, I guess.
It sounds like that was one of the excuses, but it might not have been the only excuse. They say that the Libertarian Party's participation is incompatible with the mission statement and the values of Capital City Pride.
What does that mean? What's the mission statement?
That's a good question, and I am not prepared to answer that question because I haven't pulled up anything about Capital City Pride. But as we were learning previously with the Charlotte group, they said something similar to the libertarian, or excuse me, not libertarians in that case. It was Trump supporters, Trump supporting gays who wanted to participate in their parade. And again, it was about their values or whatever. So it's not about being gay and celebrating diversity. It's about being a very specific political viewpoint of gay person. And it is ironic. I mean, given that the gay community, for lack of a better term, or gays in general, have had for a long time fought to be accepted in society, to, you know, be looked at as just another person. And I think that's how they are. They are just another, they're just people. And they fought a long time for that. And it is ironic for them to now exclude people who have the same sexual orientation but a different political viewpoint.
They have no one to fight with anymore, so maybe they just have to fight with each other or something.
They definitely fight with each other. I mean, I've seen some of the vitriolic posts between like some people who are just gay who don't like trans people. Right, so there's like gay people who don't like trans people who don't like, you know, whatever the other subgenres.
Well, I mean, it's not surprising that people fight with each other, that they don't like each other, they exclude each other, and being gay doesn't really exempt you from that.
Right. And, well, I mean, yeah, a lot of people think that libertarians are the only ones who internally fight, but it's clear that it happens to all kinds of groups. That there's always this internal strife within whatever organization grows to larger than, say, 30 people or something like that. And unfortunately, that's just the way people are. I wish people could get along better, but variety is the spice of life, so we might as well embrace it and, you know, just find the people that we can get along with best.
Well, I mean, I don't even think they necessarily need to include everybody. I mean, to me, somebody's political affiliation is more important than their sexual orientation.
Sure.
So I would go to, and I mean, I understand it's not the same, but to me, it would be more important to be at a libertarian thing than to be around other straight people, which I know there are other issues there. If you're gay, I understand that. But yeah, everybody's biased and most people are pretending they're not. Like, everybody has a bias, everybody has an agenda, everybody has goals and values. There's just some people who pretend that they don't.
Right.
And so then when they're not clear about what theirs are, if they're like, we're only about being gay, and that's
except,
yeah. Like, it's not a problem that you want to be only around people who
just be honest.
Think like you.
Just be honest about it.
Maybe it's good, maybe it's bad, but yeah, just say, okay, well, this is a leftist celebration then. Like,
right.
And then do that. And then you won't have libertarians and Republicans applying.
Or, for those people who've been rejected, what you could do, I mean, you can make a stink about it if you want to, but ultimately, it is a private organization. They can let in whoever they want to. It's their parade. So what you do is, you start your own parade. Right, so if you are a gay libertarian or a gay Trump supporter or whatever it is that your, you know, viewpoint happens to be, if you're the one organizing the parade, then you get to decide what the policy is as far as who you let in the parade. And maybe you want to be more inclusive than this particular group. Maybe you're going to welcome the gay communists or the gay whoever into the parade that you have. Because odds are, if it was just the Pink Pistols in a parade, it would probably be a pretty short parade. So being inclusive is probably a good idea. But if you're the ones who are running the organizations that are in question here, then that's a game changer. So that's what I would suggest to any people who feel put out in a situation like this. Take the lead on this issue. Create your own parade. And if it's not an obviously like pro-Trump parade, then there's a chance that other gay organizations who have a different political belief might want to get involved if they don't see it as an obvious, you know, political statement kind of an event. Or maybe make yourself an obvious political statement event and, you know, see how that goes too. Because I think it is valuable for people to see that, oh, look, here's some gay people. They like guns. Right, that's why the Pink Pistols is an interesting group, because it shatters, you know, it's kind of iconoclastic. You know, the standard definition of a gay guy is this limp-wristed Democrat who, you know, is never going to touch a gun in his whole life. And then you've got the Pink Pistols, where they, you know, they might be as flamboyant as any other gay person, but they're packing heat, maybe in more ways than one.
I also find it to be a little ridiculous that they're saying that other people aren't comfortable with having the guns around.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do they think is going to happen if some homophobe comes to shoot up the Pride Fest?
That'd be bad.
Who's gonna be the first to protect them? Not the Pink Pistols. If they're not there, they better hope cops are around with guns to protect them. Otherwise, they're screwed.
Yeah, that's a great point. Unfortunately, most people, you know, they don't think through. They should. They feel like they're safe until something bad happens, so they don't. They don't plan for eventualities like that, but you're right. I mean, if you don't have somebody with a gun around, then you're basically defenseless from some madman. The toll-free number here tonight is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. Coming up from freerangekids.com, A young man, age 16, was involved in a high school sex tape. And when the police confronted him about it, he killed himself because he didn't want to be convicted for child pornography. We'll tell you more about that story coming up here in moments. You can share your thoughts with us, 855-450-FREE, like freedom. This is Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live. You dial in toll free. Bring up anything that you want. Our number here is 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733. We do have Skype, so you can Skype in here and join us at username lrn.fm. Tonight in the studio with you, it's me, Ian.
Renee.
And Melanie.
So, been a while since we've gone to the Free Range Kids blog for some show prep, but it's an excellent blog, and we had Lenora Scanese on the show with us, I think it was a couple of years ago, at the Porcupine Freedom Festival. Great, great guest. Really awesome blog, Free Range Kids, How to Raise Safe, Self-Reliant Children Without Going Nuts with Worry. She was called the world's worst mother many years ago when she was sort of on television. I forget what the reason was for it, but she parlayed that into an excellent blog. And this one she writes comes from us from Sandy Rozek, the communications director with the National Association for Rational Sex Offender Laws. One of Sandy's primary concerns is implementing effective measures that will aid in reducing the sexual abuse of children. She is especially disturbed when children are threatened with and harmed by the registry, something that purports to help protect them. Here's the story. They scared him to death. When Maureen Walgren of Naperville, Illinois, said this, referring to the conversation that school officials and law enforcement had with her 16-year-old honor student, her son, Corey, she meant it literally. Corey was at lunch on a normal school day in his high school this past January when he was called into the office. Waiting for him was the campus dean and a police officer. They questioned him about what was alleged to be an image on his phone of a consensual sexual encounter with a female classmate, also 16 years old. The accusation was possession of and possibly sharing of, quote, child pornography, unquote. Evidence strongly suggests that the threat of being registered as a sexual offender on the state's public registry was also made. Only at that point were attempts made to contact his parents. Corey was told that his mother was on the way to the school, and he was left alone to wait for her. At some point before she arrived, Corey left. Leaving his car at school, he walked a mile, then threw himself off of a six-story parking garage. His death was not instantaneous, however, but it did come before his mother could get to him and be with him in his dying moments. As it turned out, the images on the phone were so black that nothing could even be seen. Even though audio of the encounter was discernible, police records indicate they would not have pressed charges after all. If only they had waited until the investigation was finished before they threatened the young man with child pornography and the registry, this story may have had a very different ending.
Yeah, and they're saying that they wouldn't press it now because now they have a dead kid.
Right.
I don't believe them. Maybe they wouldn't. I don't believe that they wouldn't just because they said they wouldn't.
Yeah, you're right. It's convenient for them to say that.
They prosecuted that kid for a picture of himself.
More than one kid. That's been in the news a bunch of times.
They prosecuted him as an adult for underage
possession of child porn.
Possession of him, pictures of himself.
Production of child pornography.
Makes sense.
No possession.
Huh?
Well, he did probably produce
possession
it.
Possession and production, yeah.
Or they got him on possession.
Which is still a felony,
right? So they're saying that he was both a minor and an adult at the same time.
You should have known better, but we don't think you could really have known better because you're too young. But you're too old. But it's so confusing. It's just such a crazy situation. Corey was, by the way, an excellent student. He was a good athlete and a popular young man. Over 2,000 people attended his funeral. He was fortunate to have involved, supportive parents and to have been raised in a loving, supportive home. He was a sweet, friendly, well-liked high school junior who was planning with those parents which colleges to visit in order to narrow down his application choices. He'd never been in any trouble at all. Just the weekend before, he'd talked to his parents about his choice to have a sexual encounter, his first at this point in his life, and he recognized that it was not the wisest of decisions. It is a decision that has been made by countless high school students over countless years. Many of them reached the same conclusion that Corey was reaching. Many of them have done what we all hope for all of our children, learn from their mistakes and unwise decisions, and make better ones in the future.
Right, and part of why it's an unwise decision, I mean, he's 16, he's not a child. Almost exclusively the reason why it's an unwise decision is because things that the state is doing to him. They're telling him he can't get a real job. They're telling him he can't sign a contract. He can't, you know, rent an apartment. He can't do any of the things that you would need to do to take care of a child. Which is, so they're kind of making it into a, no, it's still an unwise decision, but they're like making it into an unwise decision and then telling him how unwise he was. So that's...
And it had to be very embarrassing, I'm sure, to be confronted with such information.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, did he even know, especially if it's poor quality, did he even know this tape existed?
Well, the allegation is, later on here in the story, Lenore Scanese writes that in the Chicago Tribune story, it sounds as if the young Corey may have possibly shared this audio with his friends. So, again, not the right thing to do to share around a sex video or audio.
But it's a thing that happens. Boys are constantly talking about girls.
It happens. Well, come on. Girls don't talk about guys.
That too.
Okay. So, yeah. But it is something that happens and probably more likely to happen in high school when people are less discretionate with the things that they do. Maybe people would be less, I don't know, maybe someone in their 20s would be less likely to share a video of a sexual encounter with their friends.
They don't call it locker room talk for nothing.
Yeah. So yeah, maybe he did share it with his friends. If that's the case, again, the embarrassment is its own punishment. The anger that his girlfriend may have had at that, you know, finding, maybe perhaps discovering that on accident, that would have been its own punishment. There's no reason to bring the police to be involved in a situation like this, especially, again, when we're talking about a consensual act. Nobody here denied that the two individuals were able to consent to one another about this. I don't know if, which state was this? Was it Illinois, I think? Yeah, Naperville, Illinois.
Yeah, I mean, 16's legal in most
many
places.
States.
Not everywhere, but it's... I mean, and then even still, they were both 16, so
correct.
It's not like there was even 1 year age difference.
Yeah, there's no statutory rape here at all. But there have been a multitude of stories where 16-year-olds, teenagers, have taken, as you pointed out, photos of themselves or photos of them as a couple having some sort of sexual encounter, and both sides have been charged, where both the male and the female have been charged with production and possession of child pornography. And this young man had obviously heard enough about the sex offender registry to know that he did not want to be a part of that. That makes life very difficult, supposedly.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't really make, like, the worst decision at that point.
To throw himself off a
six-story. If I was looking at that, and, I mean, okay, maybe wait a little bit longer, but he's a minor, and he doesn't know when he's going to get arrested, so he has absolutely no freedom whatsoever at any point. If I was looking at that, and it's not going to be as difficult for me because I'm not a guy, that would be an option that I would seriously consider.
Now, that's interesting.
Valid option.
Right. And that's an interesting thing that you would say that, considering you know a thing or two about the law. You went to law school. I mean, the one thing that a young person is not necessarily going to know is that just because a cop threatens you with something doesn't mean that that's what's actually
right.
going to
and,
happen.
I mean, if that was me, I would wait to see the discovery packet.
Right.
A, he doesn't have a law degree. B, even if he's out on bail, or even if they don't arrest him, he can still throw himself off. He still has parents, yeah. So he still can't go make a decision later. He might have thought he needed to make... I mean, it's horrible that that's what it had to come to, but that's not irrational in my judgment. It's not the best decision necessarily, but I have more information than he does.
Right.
And, I mean, I'd consider it.
Toll-free number tonight, 855-450, free like freedom, 855-450-3733. I mean, this cop just intimidated his way into a dead body here. I'm not going to call him a child. He's a young man, but a dead young man. It's all on that cop, as far as I'm concerned. For
well, I mean, I think it's also on the school because they cooperated.
Sure.
His parents have some culpability for putting him in a school, maybe not for his death necessarily, but I don't think most people are in schools voluntarily, at least not until college.
Yeah, you're right. I bet you you're right. The school probably called the cops on that. We don't know exactly how that all went down.
They probably called the cops, but even if they didn't call the cops, they let the cops kind of use their office and use their principal.
Right.
There might be an officer working in the school anyways. That's how it was in my high school.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely cooperatives.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if the school hadn't brought the police in, then it could have just, you know, called the parents and then had this thing taken care of and everybody would have been fine. But instead, you bring the cops in and then threats start getting leveled against people and now you've got a dead 16-year-old on your hands. The toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. You can share your thoughts on this story or whatever's on your mind. Plus, coming up, what is fubbing? We're going to find out what fubbing is, and maybe you're a fubber, coming up.
Do you want to help build a better financial system for everyone? Join Dash. Dash is digital cash, a digital money platform designed to replace cash and help people manage their own wealth. It's fast and easy, fees are low, and transactions are confirmed instantly. You can pay anyone, anywhere in the world, anytime, for just pennies on the dollar. Get started at Dash.org. Dash is decentralized, run by users who earn rewards for helping run the network and make governance decisions. Anyone can invest in Dash and earn rewards for helping run the Dash network. Join Dash and help us create a better financial system for everyone. Take back control over your financial future today. Find out more at Dash.org and get your own Dash wallet today. That's Dash.org.
Free Talk Live. This is Free Talk Live, and you can bring up whatever's on your mind here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733. We do have Skype. And the Skype username is lrn.fm. As we launch into the third hour of the program with you tonight, it's Ian,
Renee,
and Melanie.
Coming up, we're going to find out what fubbing is, P-H-U-B-B-I-N-G. But for those of you just tuning in, we were talking about Corey Walgren, who was 16 years old until he threw himself off of a six-story parking garage after being threatened by police and school principal with possible child pornography charges for the dastardly crime of recording a sexual encounter. What may have been his first sexual encounter with another 16-year-old female at the high school. I don't know if it was at the high school, but that's where he was threatened, and they had called his mother. She was on her way in. He decided he didn't want to wait, and he left in a presumably quite distraught over a potential future as a sex offender on the sex offender registry, which in a lot of states requires one to constantly update police as far as where one's location is. And I believe that in some states they put out like notices to people.
You have to put out notices. A lot of times you're supposed to go door to door and tell people what you are convicted of.
Wow.
There's jobs you can't have. You can't be within a certain radius of
like a school,
schools, right. Parks. Sometimes
basically
anywhere
ruins
children
your life.
Would be. But yeah, yeah, like if a school moves close to you, you have to move.
Leave.
You're like you're screwed 100%
right.
Forever, or at least sometimes there's certain things that you'll be on there for a term of years, but a lot of times it's just like
it's
forever.
Yeah.
You're done. You're like, it's over.
And so-called child pornography, I suspect, would want to be one of those lifetime appointments, even though this was consensual, even though this was, you know, between the two individuals who were involved in this, even though if they were both 18 years old, then it would be
perfectly legal
pornography at that point. But because and in some states where the age of consent is 16, it's still illegal to take a naked photograph of yourself until 18. So it's just an insane group of laws that are purportedly to protect teenagers from themselves or from being taken advantage of.
Well, they're reportedly to protect teenagers from older adults. So if it was, you know, a 35-year-old with a 16-year-old, then they probably would have had a lot more popular support in convicting that, or a 35-year-old with, you know, a 13-year-old, then, you know, okay, go for it. But that's not how they're used. That's how they're sold to the public to pass these laws, but that is not how they're used. They're used to just mess with kids, usually boys, you know,
right,
most of the time.
They're the ones that are more likely to share the videos, I would
think. Well, they're the more likely to get prosecuted, I think, if they're caught.
You think? Because they have caught both genders before, and they have gone after both of them.
I mean, it might just be that girls are less likely to get caught, but I do feel like even when the girl's older, if she's young enough, that they're more likely to go after the guy.
Probably true.
They're more likely to go after prosecuting men just in general.
Yeah.
So with something like that, where kind of traditionally the male would be looked at as aggressor, isn't really the right word, but the female would like automatically be a victim no matter what, which is
it's
dumb
absurd.
Now with technology, yeah. That's really stupid, but yeah, no, I mean, this is what they're used for.
If you want to comment, you're welcome to join us here. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. Renee is the closest one of the people in the studio to high school. You graduated a few years ago. You actually graduated early. But
at 16.
You probably heard, I don't know, I'm just going to guess, did you hear rumors about like sex videos or like photos being passed around? Did anything ever
constantly
make... yeah,
constantly. That it's just, I mean, it's not right, but it's definitely a thing that happens. And
did you ever see any of it?
Oh,
or just hear about it?
Oh, totally. Yeah, I totally saw some videos, pictures.
Well, yeah, and I mean, if they're passing it around, that's different. And to me, then it would matter what the victim felt about it, but that wasn't even asked.
Well, that was allegedly what was going on with this particular video, which they said was so dark you couldn't even really identify what was going on. There was apparently some audio that that was present. But so what you're saying is you received things from other females or males or both?
Well, it would usually be like we'd all be sitting at the lunch table, oh, look what happened this weekend or whatever. And usually the person involved would be the one showing me.
So it wasn't like other people were making fun of the person. It was more of the person was bragging on their own volition.
Yeah, typically.
Here's my conquest for the weekend. That
typically,
kind of thing.
Typically. When it was made out to be more of a bullying thing, like revenge porn, when it was that type of stuff, then it would... Then I would have a problem with it, but like,
and that's when something comes out later. That's when,
yeah, and that
you have
also
a couple,
happened all the time.
You have a couple, they break up. One of the couple,
all
then
of her pictures
releases,
are all over the internet. Yeah,
I see. And did you ever hear about anybody being prosecuted for any of that stuff? I mean, considering
no, thank God,
how people in general, but teenagers especially, are known for not keeping their mouth shut. Nobody went to any of the police or nothing. Like, there was all these videos and pictures being spread and nobody turned anybody else in.
Oh, I'm sure people went to the office for it all the time, but I never heard of anybody actually being prosecuted for it.
So you think people got in trouble internally within the school, but not,
yeah,
but it never brought to criminal charges,
suspensions and stuff like that. I
it's interesting.
I don't remember any particular cases, but vaguely.
That seems to me like the administrators in that case specifically didn't bring police in because...
Well, I'm sure that the SRO might have been involved, but...
Well, maybe they're just more sensible about it up here because we see so many different stories from all across the United States. I mean, we don't talk about them half the time, but we've reported on them a few times over the years where, you know, teenagers are being prosecuted in a lot of places for the stuff that you're describing. And if they're not doing it in Keene, New Hampshire, then that suggests that there's some level of sanity within that administrative office.
Well, I feel like we're in New Hampshire, too. We're in a more liberal state. I feel like maybe in the South or something where they're more conservative and there's much more shame around sex, where they won't have sex eds in schools or, you know, places like that. I feel like it's more likely that
they have sex ed in Southern schools. They had
I'm just saying in general places where there's more shame.
You didn't have sex ed?
Well, I didn't go to school, but none of the people who did had it either.
You didn't go to school?
I didn't go to public school.
Oh, okay.
I was homeschooled.
Oh, nice.
So even in most, I mean, I'm sure that like maybe, I mean, New Orleans might have, Baton Rouge probably did, mm-hmm. Atlanta probably does.
But it's
but
a staple
most
up here.
Places, aren't going to do that. They're going to go fight not to. They're going to like have pretend sex ed class, which I've always wondered, like, if your position is just don't have sex, that's like one sentence. And I'm not sure how that takes up an entire semester to call it a class that you like go there and like, I mean, what do you do? Just say the same thing over, like literally the same sentence over again? Like what, how does that take up a class?
I don't know.
Ours were more comprehensive understand. From
but yeah.
contraception, birth control, various diseases yeah. pregnancy, blah, 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 blah.
I remember we had, when I was in gifted school, we had the genitalia coloring contest.
What? And what did that entail?
It was awesome. And it was so, it was like controversial too, right? Because.
Okay, well that I can see being controversial for like non-insane reasons.
His name was Steve Dacey. He was the one of the science teachers. And he actually, if you look him up, you might be able to find the old story. He got busted for growing marijuana once upon a time, and he actually lost his job.
This dude was cool, huh?
He was super cool. Nobody knew that about him, that I was aware of. He was my science teacher in, I think, sixth grade, and he was the one who did the genitalia coloring contest. And, you know, obviously the super sensitive, like, good Christian kids could opt out of sex ed or whatever, but everybody else was, you know, had fun with it. And so you would get, like...
Well, could you opt out of, like, just that part?
Just that activity?
Maybe. But, you know, it was like, you know, just like a black and white drawing of genitalia.
Yeah, that's creepy, though. Like,
it's a little weird, but whatever.
Is it creepy? Why is it
creepy? Like, if a grown man told my child or young adult, 16, 15-year-old, like, here, color this, like, we're having a contest, I'd be upset.
But why is that creepy? Oh, well, you can answer that coming up here in moments. 855-450-FREE. It's just science.
Weird,
Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live. You dial on in toll-free and bring up anything that you want. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733. We do have Skype, and the Skype username is lrn.fm. With you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
Renee.
And Melanie.
Also, do want to let you know about Bitcoin.com. You want to catch up with the latest in the cryptocurrency world? Well, news.bitcoin.com has it. You go to news.bitcoin.com and you'll learn about what's happening. In fact, I was just there earlier and I had pulled up a story that I wanted to share with you, but I don't remember where I put it. So if you go to news.bitcoin.com, you'll be able to see whatever it is that's going on in the Bitcoin world. They also have other stuff at bitcoin.com, including it's kind of an introduction to Bitcoin. Maybe you're brand new and you want to learn the basics. Bitcoin.com is the destination to do that. Oh, yeah. Here was the headline. Bitcoin price flips downward after almost reaching $3,000 per Bitcoin. So it was almost there. It was like $2,956, I think is what it was the highest point it reached within the last 24 hours. And it's now, it fell like maybe $300 today. So it was a big drop for Bitcoin today. But
weak.
Yeah, you can get the latest over it. Well, interestingly, a lot of the cryptos dropped today, except for Ethereum, which continues to rise in comparison to Bitcoin. Ethereum just hit a new high of $400 per Ether. So it's a competitive world out there in the world of cryptocurrency, and Bitcoin.com is on the forefront of a lot of it. So check it out at Bitcoin.com. As we go to your phone calls and thoughts, we've got Dave in New Hampshire. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Dave. Dave in New Hampshire. Going once. Do we have Dave in New Hampshire going twice? Hello, Dave. I have you.
Hello?
Oh, we have you now. Go ahead.
Okay. There are updates on some battles that have been going on between the Republican establishment in the New Hampshire House and the Libertarians and the Liberty-leaning Republicans.
What's the latest?
So the first thing is that I guess Glenn Aldrich is claiming that the Speaker wants to increase spending by 10.5%, supposedly Republican Speaker of the House.
Mm.
And Aldrich is a Free Stater rep, I believe. He's a Republican. And he is trying to, he and others are trying to put forward a 3.5% increase only, a budget that would, you know, have a smaller increase. And Aldrich is claiming that, and those are just recent numbers that Aldrich has posted, but he's claiming that the Speaker wants to increase spending twice as much as the Democrat governor wanted to when she was in power up until, I guess, 2014.
Hmm.
Or, no, I'm sorry, 2016.
Yeah, I've heard bad things about this Speaker guy. He is very controversial within the Republican Party, but yet somehow he keeps getting nominated. So he's obviously got a lot of influence.
It's his support from Democrats. And there's something else that he did that there's an update on, and he was encouraging the Pelham Republican Party to stop letting Caleb Dyer attend the meetings.
Caleb Dyer is the first state representative in New Hampshire in 20-something years to go Libertarian. He was a Republican, elected as a Republican. He's 21 years old. He just turned 21, so he's very young. And he flipped to the Libertarian Party back in, I believe it was February of this year. So what you're saying is that the Speaker of the House is trying to use his political weight to get Caleb Dyer banned from the Republican Party meetings that he had continued to attend because he knows a lot of those folks, and it's just one of the ways he wanted to do his activism was by attending and trying to influence the Republican Party, even though he is a member of the Libertarian Party now. They're trying to kick him out, is what you're saying?
Well, they were trying to. I mean, to put it in perspective, the Republican governor of New Hampshire in 2003 used to go to Libertarian Party meetings as a sitting governor and speak to them. Huh. So this all works both directions. But the latest on Caleb Dyer is that I guess the Pelham Republicans went ahead and made a rule change. So that it clarifies who can go and who cannot, and Caleb will be allowed to continue attending for now. However, I guess over the long term, they would be more restrictive towards people who aren't Republicans, unfortunately. So it's not really a victory, but it was reported on in the main TV station, and that's the important thing, is that there continues to be a buzz in New Hampshire and outside New Hampshire about these upstart Libertarians.
Well, there should be. Of course, listeners of our show for the last few months know that not only did Caleb flip and was, again, the first one to do so in many years, the Libertarian Party didn't have any state representatives nationwide. They had a state senator in Nebraska, but that's not a state representative. But now they have a state representative in the form of Caleb, but also another state representative flipped. This one, a Democrat from Keene, which is where we're doing the show. And people had said for the longest time, you know, Keene was this scorched earth, that it was impossible. We've peed in the pool too many times. It was impossible to have any kind of political success. But yet it's Keene that was second to the table to get its own Libertarian state representative in the form of another young man, 21-year-old Joseph Stahlkopp, who is another first-time state representative who made the flip back just after 420, actually. He came on board, which is awesome. And I don't know if you've heard Dave Ridley from RidleyReport.com, but there's rumor has it that coming up within the next couple weeks, there's going to be a third state representative who's going to make the flip. Did you hear about that?
Yes, and I saw Caleb actually posted a response to that claim, and it sounded like he seemed to be at least tentatively verifying it, and I got the impression from what he posted that maybe it's a Republican this time who's switching.
I don't know if I'm authorized to give that much information out, but I will tell you that it seems like it's definitely going to happen within the next couple of weeks. There may be an announcement coming up during the Porcupine Freedom Festival about that, And so I'm very excited about that, because right now New Hampshire is the only state out of all the 50 states with not just one but two state representatives who are sitting state representatives who are Libertarian Party members. That's going to be number three, while all the other states combined have zero. So, like, there's no doubt, there should be no doubt in anyone's mind right now at this point that New Hampshire is the destination for libertarian activists. If you care about freedom, if you want to have a chance at political success, and you're a libertarian, you need to stop wasting your time where you are and start making a plan to move to New Hampshire right away, because the more people we have here, the better off we'll all be, the faster we'll get to more freedom sooner. Anything else, Dave, you want to share tonight?
There's a lot more, but I'm going to hold it for the next call.
Excellent. Thank you for the call tonight. I appreciate it. I'm glad you got a lot to share, because there is a lot going on up here. And thank you for the call tonight, Dave. More coming up here. You can share your thoughts with us. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. Of course, we're right around the corner from Somalia Fest, the very Woo! First ever Somalia Fest, which kicks off the end of this week. And Free Talk Live will be there, and we will be broadcasting from the event. We'll tell you more about that coming up. 855-450-FREE, like freedom. You can join us here on Free Talk Live.
A funny thing happens when you don't advertise. Nothing. Modern advertisers have been trained to look for trackability in their advertising, and web search ads are great for that. They also help you get the consumer that's looking for products like yours in the moment. But they're expensive, and they do nothing to convince people to try your product segment in the first place. They help you get a bigger piece of the pie, but branding mediums like radio grow the pie itself. Free Talk Live's on more than 150 stations, and we can help advertisers with little budgets and big ones. Send me an email, mark@freetalklive.com. It's mark@freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live. You dial toll free and take control of the airwaves. Bring up whatever's on your mind. Our number 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We do have Skype, and the Skype username is lrn.fm. Tonight in the studio with you, it's Ian,
Renee,
and Melanie.
Also, we did just mention that Somalia Fest is coming up, but many of you may not really know what that is. Honestly, I don't really know what Somalia Fest is, because the first one was last year. It happened during the Porcupine Freedom Festival, and it was sort of a response, I think, to some extent, to the Porcupine Freedom Festival.
Well, they said it was a response.
Banning Free Talk Live and me from said Porcupine Freedom Festival after we had provided them with all kinds of publicity and broadcast services and promotion for the better part of a decade. They kicked us to the curb, and that was disappointing, I think, to a number of folks who created this Somalia Fest concept inside of the Porcupine Freedom Festival. But that didn't do me any good, because I'm not allowed to be on the campground during Pork Fest. So this year, I guess it was popular enough last year of an idea that they decided to break it out from the Porcupine Freedom Festival, and it just so happened that the Pork Fest cut its length of time in half. So Porkfest used to be a full Sunday through Sunday, week-long festival. Now it is, I believe, a Thursday through Sunday, so they cut it in half as far as its length is concerned. And so now the several days prior to Porkfest is going to be what they call Somalia Fest, and that kicks off this Friday. I believe that is the 17th. If you go to somaliafest.com, maybe there's nothing there right now. But at one point, SomaliaFest.com did... Oh, there it is. Now it's coming up. June 16th. I'm sorry, I got the dates a little messed up there. So this Friday is June 16th. Anyway, it's June 16th through the 20th. And the idea behind Somalia Fest, as I understand it, is to promote the Free State Pirate Party, which is interesting. I didn't know there was one, but I'm glad to hear that maybe this is like where it's being formed, or it seems to be a relatively new thing. We did talk to Stephen pretty briefly about that, and he seems to be one of the founders. So I'm sure we're going to learn more about the Free State Pirate Party while we're there.
Wait, is it real or are they trolling?
I believe it's real, but it may also be trolling.
It can be both.
Okay,
Vermin Supreme's name was on the ballot.
Right. He is real and a real-life troll. He's wonderful. I love Vermin Supreme. I don't know if Vermin's going to be there, but he's been known to show up in the past, so there's a good chance that we'll see Vermin Supreme at this event. But anyway, Somalia Fest is kind of, it seems to me like it's going to be more true to what Pork Fest used to be like.
An actual freedom festival?
Like a festival where there's not a bunch of central control, where there's not a bunch of rules, where you don't have to pay fees to vend, pay, you know, a fee to just be there. So, like, if you attend Pork Fest, you have to pay to attend Pork Fest in addition to the camping. If you go to Somalia Fest, there's no fee for a festival. You're just camping with a bunch of other libertarian, voluntarist, anarchist types. And so whatever those people decide to do, if they want to put up a stage on their own campsite and play music or
that might happen,
or have speakers or whatever, then it's sort of like a self-organized, decentralized camping festival, unlike Pork Fest, which is much more centralized and top-down control. That's what it's become over the years. Pork Fest wasn't like that originally when it first started out. It was very much a very small, freedom-oriented camping festival that, you know, things change over time as different people get in control of those things. And so hopefully Somalia Fest will be, you know, a more grassroots kind of decentralized festival. We'll see. I'm looking forward to checking it out because I'm not banned from Somalia Fest. They have welcomed Free Talk Live to come broadcast from that event. And so we're looking forward to checking it out. And we're going to be doing things a little differently than we had in the past. So previously, we would set up our remote broadcast equipment in this second story room in a building that they called the TV room. And it sort of looked out over this beautiful view of the White Mountains. And, you know, it was nice. But this time around, because Somalia Fest has no central organizer, like somebody put a website together, but there's nobody who's negotiated an official deal with Rogers Campground. It's just people coming to the campground and camping and calling it a festival. And so there was no like deal where we could just sort of set up our equipment. So I contacted Rogers and tried to work something out with them. And they were like, well, yeah, since nobody's renting the room, we don't really feel like cleaning it, because it turns out if you get a bunch of drunk libertarians together, not everybody is so respectful of property rights, and they kind of leave their empty beer bottles and things like that up in the room. Now, of course, you could argue that, well, that's what you expect because you know someone's going to clean it up, and so therefore it's okay. Sort of like when you go to a baseball game and people throw their peanuts and their trash down on the floor, they know that it's not the same as littering because somebody's paid to come and pick that stuff up.
Maybe someone can volunteer to clean it up.
That said, it's still can be a mess, and they didn't want to deal with that if we weren't going to be paying to rent that room. We were trying to do like a trade deal with them, so we ended up trading out for a hotel room for a couple of nights, and in return for that, we told them we would, you know, give them plenty of plugs on the radio, because Rogers is a beautiful campground. It's a wonderful place to go, and, you know, it truly is just stunningly beautiful there in the White Mountains of New Hampshire.
So where are you going to set up?
We're going to just set up outside. We're going to, you know, like go to a picnic table. And,
better hope it doesn't rain.
Well, if it's raining, we'll do it in the hotel room. But, you know, so we'll get it done either way. It's not going to be live this time. So what we're going to do is we're going to do it like we do at the Bitcoin festivals that we go to, where we record the show throughout the day. And so, you know, we're going to grab Roger Paxton, or we'll grab Derek J, or whoever it is that's around, and we'll talk to them. And so it'll be very similar, where whenever we did these shows in the past, it was always interviews throughout the show, which is different for Free Talk Live because normally we're open phones. But these were a very interview-focused show, so it'll kind of be a different feel. We'll be recording outdoors, so it'll sound a little bit different. It'll be just kind of a different vibe. So I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So if you want to learn more about Somalia Fest, you can drop by somaliafest.com. If you're going to be in New England, this weekend is when it kicks off, June 16th through the 20th at Rogers Campground. I'm sure there's plenty of campsites available. It's a first-year event. They're not going to pack the park or anything like that. It might be pretty small. It might be intimate. We don't really know what to expect because, you know, there's still going to be a certain amount of the Pork Fest attendees who are going to come for the full week. So they're going to be there during Somalia Fest. So we don't know how many that's going to be or what to look forward to. But I think it'll be fun either way. We'll go to your calls and thoughts. You can take control of the airwaves here at 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733. Let's go to the phones and to the fun. It's Sarah in New Mexico. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Sarah.
Yes. So we came in number one now with the most cars stolen of any city in the whole nation. We're number one now.
Wow. That's not something to be proud of.
Well, I mean, we cut the gold medal, and so it averages out 27 cars per day will be stolen, and 10,000 cars were stolen last year, and the year before was 6,000 cars. And you know what? The only thing that's good about it is maybe there'll be less pedestrian fatalities.
So when people steal cars, those same cars are still driven.
They might get chopped up or whatever at a chop shop.
Well, you have it.
And that person who had their car stolen, they don't suddenly not need a job anymore. They have to go now find a new car. There's still as much traffic.
It's highly unlikely that of those thousands of cars that got stolen, that any of those victims are going to say, I'm just going to start taking the bus to work. Who needs these car things anyways? It's not likely going to be a paradigm shift for people, Sarah. They're going to be scrambling to contact their insurance provider or look for a used car, borrow mom's car, or borrow a friend's car or whatever until they can finally get their own new/used car. It's not going to reduce any amount of fatalities. Thank you for the call tonight, Sarah. Appreciate it. The toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733. Moments remain. We do have enough time for you. And we'll find out what fubbing is, because I mentioned that earlier. What is fubbing? And is it secretly ruining your relationship? 855-450-FREE, like freedom. This is Free Talk Live. More coming up. Talk Live. You dial in toll free here. You bring up whatever you want. Our number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733. We've got Skype. The Skype username here is lrn.fm. It's Ian, Renee, and Melanie in the studio here tonight. Want to invite you to check out our brand new satellite funding Patreon. If you think bringing the message of liberty, peace, cryptocurrency, all these cool ideas that we have here on Free Talk Live, if you think that spreading those that message beyond the United States is a valuable idea to countries, let's say, a lot less free than the United States, where there's some pretty oppressive governments, then we can do that. In fact, we are doing that. The satellite channels that we have for LRN.FM, the Liberty Radio Network, exist over sub-Saharan Africa, over some of the most oppressive nations on Earth. It's also over North and Central America, so countries like Cuba and other places. We've got the satellite signal that anyone can pick up with a very cheap receiver and dish. And some countries of the world will actually raid your home if you have one of these satellite dishes on your home. So this is a great way to get the ideas of liberty into people's minds. And you can support our satellite expansion for just $2 per month via our brand new Patreon. You go to fund.lrn.fm to do that. We've had several people sign up already. That's fund.lrn.fm. Go there. There's a 3-minute long video. You can check out what we're doing. It gives you a lot more information. And please share that with people, too. So if you're on social media places, feel free to share it. So, could fubbing be secretly ruining your relationship? Well,
I don't know how it could be a secret to you.
Well,
if you're the one doing it.
Let's see here.
Or having it done.
The story is coming from Kylie Matthews at Whim. Oh, this is a strange website. Women, WHIMN.com.au. So, an Australian site. Do you spend more quality time with your phone than you do with your partner? Are you compulsively checking for notifications and endlessly scrolling through your social media feeds while in the presence of your significant other? If this sounds like you, you may be one of millions of people experiencing what is a relatively new psychological condition. And by the way, I didn't know Renee was going to be on the show tonight, by the way. We just kind of invited her in here because Mark had to go.
But she's also not on her phone in the presence of her significant other.
That's
Thank
true.
Thank you, Melanie.
That's true. But she is on her phone. At the very least.
Fub you.
That's cute. So what is a relatively new psychological condition known as fubbing that, according to influential new research, may be slowly eroding your relationship with your partner? fubbing is a portmanteau of the words phone and snubbing, and occurs when a conversation is interrupted by attention being given to a smartphone rather than the person you're with. When it's your loved one who bears the brunt of this compulsive action, it's called fubbing, partner phone snubbing.
Okay, so it does have to be your human, because we argued about that during one of the breaks. So it does have to be your human, and it can't be just any other person.
I don't know. I mean, it's certainly the context under which they're discussing it here, but I would say that if you are in front of your boss and you're on your smartphone during a conversation, that would also be phone snubbing. I mean,
well,
that's
would
the
be
same thing.
A bad idea.
Yeah.
but it's snubbing. The same thing.
You are snubbing that person, right? Like if you're in an important conversation with somebody and you're not looking at that person, instead you're looking at your phone. Regardless, let's go on. It's a phenomenon directly resulting from the emergence of phone addiction that, according to an extensive review of recent studies on the condition, is a problem tightly linked to unprecedented technological development over the past decade. Unlike other forms of behavioral addiction, such as gambling or gaming, in the same report it was noted that phone addiction seemingly affects young, extroverted women more than anyone else.
Why would it affect extroverts more than introverts who like to lay
in
bed and play with their phone?
I agree with you.
Online so that they don't have to go outside.
And take color quizzes.
Yeah, that doesn't make much sense to me, but that's what the study showed, apparently.
Extroverts, by definition, wanted to talk to random people.
Let's see here. The story says it's not surprising, according to one of Australia's foremost experts on relationships, Julie Hart from the Hart Center, says this is uncharted territory for us as a society. For younger people, technology of this kind has always been part of their lives, and they're so dependent on it. Julie says phone addiction, like all addictions, have a way of creeping up on you. She says, quote, the line between addiction and non-addiction can be quite blurred because it's a graduated thing. According to studies in the U.S. and U.K., on average, we check our phones every 4 to 6 minutes of our waking hours. That's over 150 times per day. Julie believes tech companies like Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter deliberately feed on our inherent psychological need for interaction and acceptance to manifest digital addiction and keep us coming back to them time and time again. Renee, what app are you using right now on that smartphone?
If you're about to make a point about Facebook, I'm taking a quiz that I saw on Facebook. And can we guess your color? Or no, can we guess your relationship status by your color IQ? And I'm just pressing colors. What am I doing?
What is that supposed to mean?
I don't know. I just clicked it. I saw it. And I clicked
what is a
it.
Color IQ?
I don't know. I don't know. I just like looking at pretty colors.
Well, admitting that you have a problem is the first step to getting help.
I don't have a problem.
I had a problem with Facebook. I will be the first to admit it.
Oh, is that why you hate it?
Didn't.
I don't hate Facebook.
It's a love-hate relationship. Person who hates it because you're like on Facebook telling people they shouldn't be on Facebook.
Yeah, I don't like Facebook.
And on the radio and in real life telling people that they shouldn't be on Facebook.
I find Facebook to be counterproductive.
Plus, I'm really talking to my mom.
I find lots of statists who are willing to talk to me on Facebook, so I find Facebook to be very productive.
It's important. This isn't even about Facebook. This is about paying attention to your family.
But what are you producing?
Anarchists, hopefully. Mostly minarchists.
Do you have success stories to where you've actually talked a statist on Facebook into becoming an anarchist?
I have not talked a statist on Facebook into becoming an anarchist, but I have talked people on Facebook out of specific positions.
Okay. Well, that is something.
I mean, I was converted entirely on the internet. There were no anarchists around in real life. I mean, the internet is valuable.
Yeah.
There's people
it can happen.
On the internet right now listening to us. They might be doing it through a Facebook post that somebody posted.
Exactly. My mom saw my Facebook post and she started messaging me. Now she's listening to the show. Mom, are you a libertarian yet?
So Julie believes that these tech companies are feeding on that psychological need, and they definitely do that. I mean, they definitely take advantage of the desire that people have to want to be liked and feel like they're, in a social group and that there's people paying attention to them. And so one of the things that I've done to break my habit of Facebook is to not click the notifications icon. And I have found this to be a very successful thing. It takes, the willingness to want, just like, quitting smoking, you've got to want to do it. I wanted to quit clicking those notifications because I was obsessively doing it. If there was one notification, I'd go right on up and click it. So I started with 5 being my minimum. I then worked up to 10, and then I did, I think, 20, 30, 50, and then I doubled that to 100, and then I brought it back down to 75. So right now I'm at 75, and I won't click the notifications until it's at 75. So that definitely makes it so I don't spend near as much time
on Facebook. You're ridiculous. That just makes checking Facebook a daunting task. Then you have to go through all those notifications.
It doesn't take that long. All you have to do is like pull up the whole list of the notes, because you can, you know, pull up the full page, and then I just scroll on up, and anything that's not a like, I ignore that, or I ignore all the likes because those are useless. Only the comments are what I look for.
Well, they're not useless.
Yes, they are. Likes are completely useless.
They might bump a post. No, they might bump a post that is important and more people will see it.
If you make an argument about why the state should go away and I like it, that ups you in the algorithm, and then some state that sees it, and then maybe they'll get converted.
Yeah, but it's useless for me to know. I see what you're saying. You're saying that for Facebook's algorithm's sake, it's useful. I'll acknowledge that.
Well, it's also useful for you to know what is working and what is not. If I see an argument that I'm making that is a completely explicitly anarchist argument, and I have people who are hardcore statists liking it, then that is information that is useful to me.
Hmm.
And that has happened. Okay, what is about this that is working for the people that are in my audience anyway? Let me do more of that.
The expert says you can be so seduced by the neurochemical hit of dopamine it provides of constant connection at a safe distance. Who else wants to reach me? The number of likes I've got. Another funny story to read. The excitement of something new. That it can easily become what you do with your spare time, she says. So it's not much of a jump from that to also continuing to do so when you're with your partner, instead of using this time as an opportunity to connect with them. There's a lot more to this story. We're not going to have time to share it with you tonight, but I'll put it on our Facebook page and Twitter so you can read it at your leisure. And it's been Ian here with you.
And Renee. And the quiz thinks that I'm married. In case anyone's wondering.
And Melanie.
Is that a successful result?
I don't know.
It depends on if you want to be married.
All right, so we'll see you tomorrow night online. In the meantime, you can join us over at freetalklive.com. And don't forget the new Free Talk Live forum, which is not Facebook, at forum.freetalklive.com. There are lots of ways to listen to Free Talk Live. Our podcast has been around since podcasts began, and now the FTL feed is loaded with content besides our full show archives. Did you know that we make it easy for you to customize your podcast subscriptions? We have different feeds, one that includes only our full shows, one with just the Daily Digest, and one with just the Edgington Post. You decide what you listen to. It's quick and easy to customize your feeds at feeds.freetalklive.com. That's feeds.freetalklive.com.